Committee meeting, March 12, 2024, 4 o'clock PM. Notification of open meetings act posted. A copy of the Open Meetings Act Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Butler?
Here.
Gap?
Here.
Caesar?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Jefferson?
Here. Item number 4, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Gap?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Item number 5, proof of publication of meeting notice. I have that, and that will become part of the permanent record. Item number 6, amendment to the second amended agreement for the Lower Platte River Ramides Management Program, Amanda Grant.
Hi, good afternoon. Really, it's not Brent's fault that the name of this amendment is the way it is. It was a series of actions by other attorneys that forced him to name this the amendment to the second amended agreement. So this is an interlocal agreement between Lower Platte South, Lower Platte North, and the Papio NRD that was started in 2009, and then there was a series of amendments that led to where we're at today to really create a fund. Each NRD puts in $30,000 per year, and this fund is to help like subsidize the invasive weed spraying on the Lower Platte River. So I know we talked back a couple of months ago about the bill, I think it's LB 218, about the increased funding for weed management areas for the state, and then it got amended to cut back to what its normal funding, which is about $3 million. So those are kind of the two ways that the invasive weed spraying gets funded. So the state dollars go to weed management areas, and we are a part of the Lower Platte weed management area. It's just that management area is a bigger area than our three NRDs. It's 10 counties. It's a bigger area. So there's state funding that for that, and then we have this separate interlocal that helps to pay for what that doesn't cover. We always try to use all the state funds before we use any of these interlocal funds, and for sure the last year we've been able to get this entirely paid for with state grant funds, and we haven't had to use this. So that's just a little background on the funding. So we definitely work in conjunction with the Lower Platte Weed Management Area, but we have this interlocal with the three NRDs to really cover the administration and the cost of helicopter spraying for invasive species in the Lower Platte. So what we'd like to do is amend that interlocal to include unmanned aerial systems, really drones. We haven't had the ability to use them with this funding before. And Lower Platte South, and I think we have some interest in getting some areas where the helicopter can't get to really try to do a better job of managing the Lower Platte. So we'd like to have the ability to use these dollars for drone spraying along with the helicopter spraying. And again, we always try to use all of the state grant funding before we would even go into this fund. So I guess the next thing that's part of this, new to the Papio, we haven't really done this before, but we're gonna do a select qualified bidders list for drone sprayers, because just the nature of it, there's a lot of different entities that could use them. So we're gonna go out for a bid. We have specifications that the Lower Platte Weed Management Area, the NRDs, and even some drone sprayers themselves have reviewed, helped us put together, go out to bid, and then we'd like to come up with a list of 5 or 6 that have good prices, qualified people, and then just be able to use that list as we pick through the three NRDs, but then also the weed management area, the county weed superintendents could use that list as well. So that's really not part of the interlocal. The interlocal really just allows us the ability to use drones, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you.
And Director Teaser can jump in because I probably messed something up there.
You know, what about tryouts? I mean, so we have all these drone potential. I mean, actually have them come out and demonstrate their ability before we, you know, sign a contract.
Well, most of the Weed County superintendents know these drone folks, so we're going to rely on them for feedback. And one thing we are just doing this select qualified bidders list for 1 year, just the rest of 2024, the spring season, just because of that. And then we'll reassess if everyone likes it. We'll go out for maybe like a 3-year list or a 2-year, whatever makes sense.
It's no secret that I'm on the vegetation or riparian vegetation management task force since it was inception of 2008, and so I'm pretty versed in what's going on, and I am one of those that am not particularly happy with what I'm seeing as far as the county weed management individuals. Some counties are much more aggressively getting the phragmites on the river than others, and the offshoots, the creeks, and areas within the floodplain. But I think there was a meeting in the 19th of April, I can't even have it in front of me, but I think we're meeting out at McCook. And I'm going to be voicing some concerns about particularly western Nebraska. If you go from Kearney west on the Platte River, you see the river loaded with phragmites. And all those seeds are going to be coming down just to see us, you know, in a year or two or five. Those seeds stay viable for a long, long time. But I wish there was a way that we could possibly entice or oversee the weed management units to make sure that they're effectively using the drones. And you and I have talked, do we have to actually, can the districts be the ones that hire the drones and oversee the spraying, or do we have to allow the weed management units to do so?
So this interlocal allows the three NRDs the ability to hire the drones directly. We have, to some degree, been at the mercy of the county weed superintendent through the weed management area, unless we wanted to pay for it all on our own. So because since our current interlocal was only the helicopter spraying, any drone spraying or ground spraying or anything else we wanted, we really relied on the county weed superintendent. So this gives a little more power to the NRDs to use the drones if they want to with this pot of money. So I think it's a good thing. It's a little more gives us a little more responsibility, and you know, we can use a different tool to try to get more sprayed.
You know, the directors here probably aren't aware that in 2008 or 9 we passed a rule that we would take out 50% of the cost of the spraying. And however, in the last year or two, since we haven't been tapping all those funds, we've been not billing, for example, where I live, Sokol Camp, and some of the inland areas that are being sprayed and not being charged. And these people are getting to the point that they're going to expect that. Mm-hmm. Instead of them paying the 50%, they want us to pay 100%. And that's not always going to be the situation. We're not going to be able to afford it, particularly the legislature has now said we no longer just are concerned about the river, we're concerned about the floodplain. And that can extend out in the valley, between Valley and Waterloo. That entire area is all floodplain. So, I mean, there's about a quadruple amount of phragmites that we're going to be looking at spraying, and potentially at 50%. And and that goes all the way up the river, Fremont, North Bend. I mean, it's a huge area. And again, I'm kind of concerned that I had one neighbor particularly say, come to me and say, well, hell, you paid it all. I expect you to pay it all in the future. I said, well, that may not be the case, but they're getting to the point where they're going to expect that. And I think we're going to get some negative response from the landowners once we start saying, hey, you're going to have to pay 50% of that cost again.
I'm sure that we would. And I think the remedy for that is we need to spray more so that, I mean, we use all the state dollars because, you know, it's hard to justify charging people when what gets done falls within the state grant dollars, you know, 100%. So, yeah, I agree. I think if we sprayed more, we would go back to that policy.
That would be helpful.
Thanks. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Before you ask for a motion,
we have to do a motion.
I would like to incorporate in the motion the last sentence of the main paragraph where it says the district will keep a selected qualified bidders list to have competitive bids and qualified bidders ready for this program. I'd feel more comfortable that the board approves that since it's freshly new and it's a good thing to have, that we incorporate that into a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Or is that
make that a motion?
Is that a motion?
With the addition of that language.
Okay.
So is this an amendment to the amendment?
There's no motion. You can't amend it yet.
That's a triumph.
Brent will have to help third us.
So you're adding that to the motion?
Yeah, but I don't want to put the words for the 2024 season.
Oh, just for the, okay.
This is for future use as well. But I'd feel more comfortable that the board puts that policy out.
So you're making that a motion?
I'll make that as a motion.
Okay, and would you read back what that motion would be?
Read back? Okay, the existing motion is printed out.
Okay.
Management recommends with the addition of the district will keep a selected qualified bidders list to have competitive bids and qualified bidders ready for the program and not dated.
Okay.
So it can be used in future programs.
Okay.
Is that clear?
That's the motion. Is it second?
You second the motion.
He seconded the motion.
Okay. So Jim, do you want the directors to approve that firm?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the way you understood the motion?
Well, that's the way he explained it, so we understand. We'll click the list and bring it back then for your approval.
No approval from the board to have a qualified products list. This way, the board approves a qualified products list.
So we'll collect the vendors and then bring it back for the list for your approval. That's how I understood it.
Thank you.
Any other questions regarding the motion?
Yes. How would an addition to that motion be treated? I guess the question is, does that change any RFP procedures going forward? And how would a bidder know that they need to be on the list first if they're relatively new to the market?
You ask me?
Well, we'll tell them that it's a qualified bidders list, and if they want to be on the list, they have to submit their qualifications. They'll know it's they're on a list. Because that will be part of the process.
What my motion states that if you're not on the list, next time, get on and submit your qualifications, submit your experience, and then the general manager through the NRDs will establish that. I don't want to establish a list. That's up to the general manager.
It will be an RFP.
It'll be an RFP.
So each individual spraying job is going to be not that much, you know, well below our policy, but altogether, I don't know. And so, and likely all the spraying together would still be under the policy, but we're doing a published RFP with specifications and unit prices, collect all those, and then we can bring those back. The Lower Platte Weed Management Area is also going to review those, and then we can bring those back and we'll pick, you know, whatever we believe the top, you know, I don't even know that I have a number in my head, but a reasonable number so that we have people from kind of different areas so the travel isn't an issue and, you know, good qualified people.
You have any other questions regarding? what she said.
Is this just for his motion we're going to vote on here, and then we're going to...
No, he incorporated into the original motion.
Oh, okay. I'd like to say a few words.
Okay.
Pat's done.
Pat, are you done?
Yeah. Hey, just a few things coming from a DOD perspective on drones. Since the advent of the Ukrainian war, we've come a long way on how we're doing drone warfare, and it's became very evident we had to train drone pilots, drone actual crews, and the actual elaborate systems that we are utilizing now. I go out quarterly to Camp Smith and play with all these toys, and this is now becoming very much part of our fabric, whether you're in agricultural, I talked about it at NACD, and so this is actually a progression that we should have been taking anyways. So those certifications on the civil side, they are a must. So we may go with an RFP with just a helicopter. We don't need that. But if we add that to it, definitely I want to have trained operators. How many hours? What are your certifications? And if they got any proof of what they've been doing, exactly what we need. Because these systems are actually going to change over time and get bigger, more eloquent, and et cetera. So I applaud you in doing this, because once you said it the other day, I was like, yes, because they're everywhere.
Yeah, and we did get into the specs that they need to provide FFA and also chemical handling, you know, all the requirements and licenses that they need, so we can make sure everybody's certified. And that will probably change over time, and this is just the 1 year. And it maybe if you'd be willing to look at our specs, we'd be happy to have you do that, just to make sure we get all the qualifications. And then we did allow for companies, because there's so much change in that that realm, that if you hire a new pilot, you can submit their qualifications during the year, so you're not just limited, because so many people are moving companies and getting and hiring. So yeah, there's that ability to do that too.
Yeah, and these systems are going to change. We have some right now that are sensing down in the soil about X deep, and they know that what's happening in the soil. So that's the agro piece of it. Mm-hmm. And so it will all just keep developing as we go on here. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm done.
One more tiny side note, that the Lower Platte Weed Management Group is or has been contributing to some research at UNL with sensing phragmites, like, I don't know if it's infrared or whatever they're using, but something like some kind of automatic spraying system. So yeah, lots going on all the time there.
Well, we got a motion that's been amended.
Can I have one more question?
Yes.
Motion wasn't amended, sir. It's the motion.
It's one. We're ready to vote.
Okay. Yeah, Rich, you have a question?
Tim, there's been a lot of talk about the Chinese drones are, you know, this probably the premier drones. I can't think of three initials. I was going to buy one, I didn't. But do we want those things flying around off of Air Force Base?
No, actually, they're denied. And, all DOD wide, there's nothing with any piece of foreign made equipment on board, they will not fly.
Okay.
So we don't buy anything with Chinese or any foreign bad turf on them.
Thank you.
I guess we're ready to vote. Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Matt Chairman?
Aye. Thank you. Item number 7, contract amendment number 5 with Shimmer for Platte River Bridge Trail. Eric.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Platte River Bridge Trail on the east side of the existing highway bridge between Bellevue and Plattsmith, Highway 75, 34 to some. That project is currently under construction as of February 1st. Plans were finished last year. The project was bid. Hawkins was selected as the construction contractor. Work began on site at the beginning of February and is in process now. Okay. Early in the construction work, some additional requests for information and shop drawing review was needed.
Okay.
NDOT's process is to contract for the design work, and at the end of the design work, bid the project, and then after bidding, to determine whether the consulting engineer from the design will continue as construction management engineer, or if that work will be done in-house. So the engineering firm does not know during the design process if they will be selected to provide additional services after the design and bidding is completed. For this project, after the construction contract was awarded, MDOT notified the NRD and Schemmer as the design engineer that they would be doing the work in-house, and so there would not be a contract for construction management services during the ongoing construction work. However, Hawkins, during construction, identified some additional information that was necessary. They submitted those RFIs and shop drawings, and the only people qualified to review that information and respond were the design engineers. So there's somewhat of an unfortunate circumstance that the design firm no longer has a contract. It was completed with the construction documents, but response is necessary. And so MDOT does allow an amendment to the design contract for additional services during construction to respond to RFIs and shop drawings, and that's what we have here. Hawkins has requested additional information. Schemmer is prepared to answer those questions and help the construction move forward, but that's out of scope from their original contract. And so the recommendation is to approve a consultant work order, a CWO, which is a design change order, with Schemmer in the amount of $19,562.55 to continue providing those review services during construction as Hawkins builds the project. Because NDOT does not have the technical details necessary to respond to some of those questions. For example, a large portion of the early RFI work was related to utilities which were buried on the east side of the bridge. Location was not specifically known during design. They were identified through some survey work, but the depth and exact location needed to be verified. Those are literally directly under and through the abutment of the bridge. And so that was some of the first RFI and shop drawing review that Schemmer needed to provide. So they have been doing that to help the project keep moving forward. And this is the scope of work necessary to continue that as the construction continues on site. This is part of an overall program agreement between NDOT and the district. 80% federal funding, so of the roughly 19,500, 80% of that will be federally funded, 20% locally funded, and of that it is split between the PAPU NRD and the other five local partners who are all contributing to this project. This is critical work to help the project continue to move forward. So the process we used was to sign the scope of work on the consultant work order form, which was provided. NDOT then signed that and returned it, and the next step will be for NDOT to prepare the official contract amendment. It's a blue document from them that we get back, and that will include a resolution, which is referenced here, the resolution provided by NDOT. The resolution itself is basically just confirmation that a vote of the Board of Directors did occur. So we received those with all of the documents. They are template. There's no specific language related to the contract other than just a recording of the vote. But when we receive the blue document with all of the additional information, this would authorize the general manager to execute that agreement and turn in the resolution of the vote count from the board. So all of the technical, financial, and scope information is included here. It will just be bundled up into a contractual document by NDOT, physically mailed, physically signed, circulated around. Because construction is ongoing, we did not want to wait for that mailing process. Hawkins would need to stop work on site if they did not have authorization from NDOT to receive information from Schemmer on the project. So it is a somewhat back and forth process of review, approval to keep the project moving. But we're glad that Schemmer is available to answer these questions and to keep the project moving forward successfully.
Thanks, Eric. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? We can have a motion.
I'll motion for staff recommendation.
Second.
Directors, any questions? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Thanks, Eric. Oh, you're up next.
Yep, one more.
Item 8, Elkhorn River Trail Bridge Agreements.
Yeah. So this is a similar type of project. It is a federal aid project for a trail bridge over a river, this time in the kind of west portion of our community. Elkhorn River Trail Bridge, because it is a trail bridge freestanding, not a, a bridge that now includes a trail like the last one. This project is kind of at the beginning. We have executed a program agreement with NDOT for the overall project. We have spent several months in discussion and negotiation with NDOT about the scope and fee for professional engineering services and environmental services. And we now have agreements to recommend for approval the professional services agreement with Schemmer and a environmental services agreement with Jacobs. Both of these, do you have the map, I think should be the next page? There you go. So as a reminder, this is the project located directly downstream of West Maple over the Elkhorn River. Both of these agreements will help to finalize an exact location of the bridge per comments that we received in the past about where this project should specifically be located. We applied for federal aid for the project and listed an alternative that was kind of immediately downstream of the highway bridge. Through some discussion with NDOT and with Schemmer about the scope, the work that's outlined here will be to evaluate a preferred alternative, which is on the Old Maple Road Bridge corridor location, as Director Teaser requested a while ago, and thank you for mentioning that. And then if that location is not viable, we would look toward the location further upstream, closer to the highway. The scope for the two consultants will be to conduct the hydraulic engineering work to determine the type and size and location of the bridge itself, and verify that we can actually construct it on the Old Maple Road location. And if not, we would then evaluate the second location to determine if that was possible and what the cost would be there. So the fee associated with each of the design contracts is for relatively preliminary work. It's not conceptual per se, it is engineering work, but it is not the full design scope for the entire bridge. So the amounts listed for Schemmer at $99,208.70 and for Jacobs at $9,548.72. We do anticipate that those amounts will go up because this is a fairly substantial project. It will be a freestanding bridge over the Elkhorn River. A couple options are being considered, either piers in the water or possibly a single span across the entire river. That will be evaluated during the design process. And so we do expect there will be amendments to the professional services contracts after we have finalized the location and the type and size of the bridge that will come from these early discussions. So with that, the recommendation is to authorize the general manager to execute the two contracts with Schemmer for professional engineering services and Jacobs for environmental services. And I'd be glad to take any questions.
We can have a motion on this item.
Do we need two? Yep.
Two separate. Yeah. So the first one would be
professional
services.
Yeah.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I had a question. So after we spend $99,208.70, what exactly will we have? There's going to be a number of amendments, you're saying, and I couldn't pick up everything you were trying to say here.
Yeah.
What exactly will we have after we spend $100,000 here?
On the order of 30% plans, that's a rough term, but it identifies, again, type, size, and location of the structure. And we will have already done the hydraulic work in the river to know what will be necessary to take it through the 60% plans, which will include the NEPA documentation.
Who does the hydraulic work in the river?
Schemmer.
You said we did that. Schemmer's we?
Yes, Schemmer's. And I'm sorry, I didn't flag earlier, but Bart Pugh from Schemmer is here with us today. So, yeah.
So you're anticipating approximately 30% of their business will be done after this first round of...
30% as a design completion number. That does not necessarily reflect the portion of the overall cost of the fee for the project. So
I understand that, yeah. But I just want to know how much. Is this 10%? Is this 50%? You think it's about 30%?
About 30% plans.
Mm-hmm. And when would this be done?
I think it's on the order of this year. A large portion of this relies on the permitting discussion with the Corps of Engineers. For both the potential placement of structures in the Elkhorn River and then also the potential impact on the west side, the bank of the river near in Waterloo with the...
So which comes first, their work or the Corps of Engineers okaying that we start on this?
We do not need the Corps to authorize that we start on this.
You don't?
Their work will begin. Schemmer and Jacobs will prepare some preliminary information, have a pre-application meeting with the Corps of Engineers. The Corps will give us some feedback on what information is necessary to move toward a permit. Once we verify the final location, that's when we will expect an amendment to the design and environmental agreements, and take that to a full design of a bridge with a permit, and that will be the next phase.
Who's the "we" again, that design, determines where the bridge is going to be? You said "we" again.
So preferred location is on the Old Maple Road corridor.
Right.
And if that is determined to be kind of not structurally possible at all, because of piers in the water, some extraordinary amount of permitting or potential impacts, or the potential for the abutment on the west side on the near the levee in Waterloo, if that is not possible, then we would move to another location. But that's a thing that the staff and the engineers will work together with the Corps on. And we can provide updates through the general manager's update or some other form if the board would like updates as we go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the conclusion of this design work, we would bring back an amendment for board approval that would specify here is the location of the project. Now we would like to move forward with the remaining portion of the design and environmental work to get the permit. And that would, at that time, it would include the specific location of the project.
And you said you anticipate sometime this year that this portion would be done?
I think so. Again, permitting with the Corps is a large uncertainty in time.
Okay. Thank you.
Eric, is the 99-208, that's subject to federal cost share, right?
Yes. This is 80% federal funding. The 80% of the whole project, including both of these amounts, future design work and future construction work, would be from the federal funding through the state transportation alternative program.
Which has already been secured.
It has been secured, okay. Yes.
Thank you.
So on that line, you're talking about a $300,000-plus contract with Shimmer, eventually. And explain to me why we want to waive the policy of interviewing firms for this significant project.
Yeah, so for federal aid projects, NDOT's process requires a selection from their on-call list. And so they have done an RFQ rather than RFP, so they request qualifications.
For this project or in general?
For any projects of this type that will use federal transportation funding. So they have a list of firms, it's about six or seven. They ask for a new submittal of qualifications about every 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why did we pick Shimmer?
Because of the, from their qualifications.
It's on the list. How many other firms are under?
I think about seven or eight. The list is not specific to active transportation projects, like a trail bridge. It is kind of all professional engineering that NDOT does. So some of the firms specialize in more like highways and don't specifically reflect their experience with this type of project in their qualifications.
So the seven or eight staff got together, Shimmer would probably be the best?
That's right, yes.
And so we're waiving our policy because of NDOT has already got a policy in place. We don't want to circumvent that.
That's right, yes. And this is how we have made selections on the last, the other federal aid projects that we've done as well.
Okay. And they specialize in this type of transportation. Hence why they're doing the trip, the footprint.
Yes.
Are you through?
Yeah.
Okay.
For now.
Okay.
Thank you. We have a bridge to nowhere. 20 years ago when we started this project, we were going to have a bridge to lead the valley to Platte River Landing to the east, to Elkhorn. What do you foresee now as the end?
Can you show us the map again, Bill? So this is a bridge, and when we define the purpose and need of the project, it lists the publicly accessible recreation area on the east bank to the publicly accessible land on the west bank, meaning the trail on top of the levee. So it does connect two existing recreation and natural resource locations. But more specifically in the future, the corridor along West Maple Road has been identified on our trails map and in discussions with the City of Omaha and Douglas County for a number of years. And so we have received a cost share application from Douglas County for a project on the south side of West Maple Road to begin continuing up toward Elkhorn. They sought some other funding and that is not moving forward. So the district and Douglas County and MAPA have come up with a new strategy for a project along the south side of West Maple Road from the river up to the top of the hill, which is right here. There is an existing trail crossing on West Maple Road where the Tahazooka Trail crosses from the south side to the north side into the Ramble Ridge neighborhood. And so the project that the district and Douglas County will now work on with MAPPA and will seek federal funding for is the south side of West Maple, from the existing trail down to the river, connect to the bridge, and cross into the existing trail on the west side along the levee in Waterloo. That project, again, has been moving forward in conceptual stages for about 2 years, but we've come up with a new agreement, a new concept that, again, Douglas County, the district, and MAPPA believe will be the best way to deliver that project moving forward. And so we anticipate initiating a project with Douglas County, them as the lead, the NRD as a cost share partner, and seeking federal funding for the entirety of from the river to the top of the hill. That's kind of the anticipated next phase. We do not have an agreement with those two agencies yet, but we've met a couple times, and we anticipate having that project ready the next time MAPPA asks for federal aid project submittal, and Douglas County would submit that. And so there is anticipated to be an agreement between the district and Douglas County for that project sometime in the future, probably later this year.
Okay. Anything from the bridge past Elkhorn toward Valley on West Maple, or, you know, one time we had a, there was preliminary plan, 264th Street down to Two Rivers.
Yes.
And have these, are these still in the realm of possibility? Or?
Yes. Douglas County has been working with all of the cities in the area, including Waterloo, Valley, and Bennington, on kind of a Western Douglas County Trails Connectivity Plan. So they've done some conceptual planning work, and that does largely rely on West Maple as the corridor connecting between Elkhorn, Waterloo, and Valley, and then some additional connectivity north and east toward Bennington. Those do not have federal funding designation nor any specific local funding for design and construction, but they are in the conceptual phase. Past projects have run into some challenges along West Maple. We'd be glad to work on that again, but that will need local support, basically from the property owners along West Maple, if that's the corridor. So there is not a specific project in that location, but connecting along West Maple from Waterloo to Valley was part of the Western Douglas County Trails project that we worked on previously, and all of the local partners still support that potential corridor in the future and are working in that direction, but there's not a specific project at this time. There are just kind of pieces of projects that can move forward when there are opportunities available. That one is probably a year or two into the future to move into design and then eventually construction. But again, that will need local support because the corridor on Maple is quite narrow.
Right. You're still talking about a lane on each side of the Maple? Valley didn't do it.
I guess it depends. That at the time, that design was subject to the federal funding process review, and NDOT did not support the divided design. That could be done entirely locally, but there's not a specific answer now. I think the potential for other roadway improvements in the area might lead the trail connectivity. So at some point, Douglas County might look at some other type of project on West Maple, which would then potentially carry the trail with it. That might be the easiest answer, because if you're going to do a roadway project, adding a trail to it is a very good idea and simplifies a lot of the hurdles that we ran into the last time we tried that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? And this is on
just the first
8A.
Correct.
That's what we are going to be voting on. Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Keiser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Jermyn?
Aye. Now we're on 8B.
It's for the Environmental Services.
Mm-hmm.
The Environmental Services go with the Design Services. The contract is with Jacobs. This is a relatively smaller contract, so separate motion for the Jacobs contract.
Well, we can have a motion.
I'll motion for staff recommendation.
Got a motion? And a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Jermyn?
Aye. That completes my report.
Yeah.
We're We'll call the FEL Subcommittee meeting to order at 4:40 PM. With that. Court call, please.
Bradley?
Here.
Connell?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Chairperson?
Here. Adoption agenda.
So move.
Second. Roll call.
Connell?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Proof of publication of the meeting notice, I have it before me. Moving on to item six, accounts over 110%, vehicle equipment repairs maintenance, 01014052, Martin Cleveland.
Good afternoon.
Martin, is it true that he kept wrecking all your equipment?
Bill's my main supporter of these topics. He can explain better than I can, actually, but the bottom line is we are going to be exceeding 110% this budget item, which is called vehicle equipment repairs and maintenance, which is basically maintaining all the district's equipment that we have, which is a lot. There's 33 self-propelled items, and then there's 26 vehicles or slash trucks, pickups. And so we're going to be over that 110% sometime in April, and actually this month probably in April will be over 110%. So we're coming to the board tonight to get your approval to exceed that amount by going up about 50,000 roughly, based upon the amount of months we have left. What's happened here in this last year is that, first of all, we probably should have budgeted more money. We kept the budget level with last year, and that was 220,000, which probably should have went up some. That was one mistake. Second one is not being able to predict the equipment, you know, actually failing or breaking down. So you really can't predict equipment when it's going to break down. As an example, we had $59,000 worth of tractor repairs this year. Three tractors cost about $54,000. So you spend like $26,000 on one tractor, $15,000 on another tractor, and all of a sudden you have a lot of money. And so throughout the summer months, they use these tractors like for mowing. In the wintertime, we try to repair them. So a lot of the repairs do occur in the wintertime and the fall as we get the tractors in and other equipment in. But likewise, we had a lot of vehicle repairs this year. We had one vehicle that cost $10,000 to repair it. So all of a sudden you add up, you know, a few of those kind of repairs, 5,000 here, so on, you get up to a big number. We had mower repairs of 22,000, which would be like the mowers they pull behind tractors and also the self-propelled mowers. And we also had dump truck repairs, about 40,000. So we had two dump trucks and one truck tractor, and those had repairs of number of things that happened last year. One of which is tires. I should point out the tires cost us $20,000 last year. So you spend a lot of money on just tires and all these machines we have. And there was $47,000 we spent on other things, which would be like the backhoes. A couple of the backhoes had major repairs. And so all of a sudden you end up with this big number, which is unfortunate. But again, it's unpredictable. Next year, hopefully be less because maybe things are repaired, you know, for a little while. But these tractors, for example, were like 2017, 18, and 19, which are pretty new. So you can't always predict what's going to break down. You know, sometimes you think, well, it's got a 10-year-old item, not a 5-year-old item. And sometimes it's things that are pretty new can break down too. So that's kind of the overall picture. And Bill can answer any of the complicated questions because he's the guy that knows what happened with, as far as repairs this last year.
But a lot of it too is just the expense of labor and parts.
Right.
I mean, we're finding that things that used to cost not so much, now their labor is about twice as much as it
is. Labor's gone up 10-15% since last year. These dealers are having a hard time getting mechanics to work in their equipment, and so they're having to pay high wages, anywhere from $25 to $50 an hour. And you take one tractor, it's $2,000 for parts and $9,000 or $10,000 for labor. And it's all high emissions. These tractors are high emissions, and the trucks, you have to take so many things apart. You have to be qualified. You have to have the right tools, and it takes time to do all that. And that's why the labor adds up. So it's just, and it's going to keep going up too. So.
What do you wish to make? So,
is that in-house, or are we taking that to dealers? Or?
Dealers,
okay.
We don't have the tools. And
I'll
give you a little history on what we have here. Our tractors and mowers, they mow around 4,000 acres a year. Each tractor has about 700 hours put on it every year and the mower.
How many hours? How many hours? I couldn't hear.
700 on the tractor, on each tractor and each mower. And we mow over 100 dams. We have about 30 high hazard dams that we mow twice a year. And we try to mow all of our levee systems twice a year just because of inspections with the Corps and try to keep the trees down and weeds and rodent holes that we have to keep filled in case of a flood or something so it doesn't wash out the levees. And our dump trucks, one's got 9,000 hours on it and it's got 265,000 miles on it. And we just had to have new injectors put in it. Well, that was $12,000. And one of our other dump trucks, it's got 365,000 on it. It's got about 12,000 hours on it. And this stuff only lasts so long. So, and they average anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 miles a month on each truck, hauling rock, riprap, dirt, sand, whatever. So that pretty much sums it up.
I was going to say, I move with staff recommendation.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to make comment? Directors?
I have one just quick question, Bill. Do you guys do, like, do oil changes?
Yeah, we do oil
You'll
changes.
Do some of those basic
oil
like
changes
that.
Okay. And all that. Okay. Our tractors, we take in every winter to John Deere, and they inspect them. And if they find anything wrong that we can't fix, I have them fix it. And we do all, and we bring them back. We do all our own oil changes, trucks, everything. We do our own oil changes, so even vehicles and everything. So that's it. Yeah, all that stuff. So and stuff wears out. They don't make it like they used to. So it only lasts so long. So
well, as Bill knows, that over the past 20 years, I've been kind of a stinker watching you to make sure that you're doing everything properly, and I will compliment you. You're doing an excellent job with the equipment that you have, and you're maintaining it well, I think. I see it go by my house quite frequently, and I thank you for the work you've done and your staff. I think it's excellent. And yeah, I'll certainly
second that. I have some good guys over there at the shop, so they're
all official
all
motion.
Really good.
No other Thanks. Comments? Reverse roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Chairman?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 7, land acquisition, Beltline Trail Phase 3, executive session if needed. Eric?
Thank you.
Give me the reason.
To discuss the acquisition of land.
Okay. We have a motion to go into exec session to discuss acquisition of property. With that, roll call.
Wait a minute. He can't make. I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Roll call. Yes.
What's the time?
4:48.
4:48. Roll call.
I didn't get the second. It was 4.
Just pick.
Okay. Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Davidson? Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
And the time is 5:21?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we get a motion on the floor, please?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion from the director, from the general public? Seeing none, directors. Seeing none, roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. We will adjourn this meeting at 5:21. Thank you.